You're listening to audio from Cornerstone Covenant Church in Big Spring, Texas. Thank you so much for joining us online. To find more resources or to donate to this amazing ministry, please visit us at cccbigspring.org or text your amount to 84321. Hey, we're so glad that you're here. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God. Trenton Herald is an international rising voice to this generation. He carries a message of revival and leadership with a heart to see people step into their destiny. Trenton completed ministry training at Rhema Bible College in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And he currently resides in Holland, Michigan with his wife Jessica and their daughter Zion. His desire is to stir passion in hearts and see authentic transformation in people around the globe. Now let's put our hands together and welcome Pastor Trenton Herald.
How y'all doing? How y'all doing? Come on, West Texas, make some noise. Come on. I know you can get louder than that. Wow. Man, wow. There's so much that I want to say right now. First of all, I've been up since 5 a.m., jumped on a plane and came here and have not slept. So you know the Holy Ghost is just going to take over from here. So who knows what will happen tonight. And I'm just excited about being here. Thank you, Pastor and First Lady, for just your warm welcome and your invitation. And Corey and I have been really great friends, and we did a lot of ministry. If y'all don't know, my wife and I actually, for the very first part of our marriage, actually were youth pastors in Midland, Texas. Anybody from Midland in the house? Where you at? I hear you. Yeah, so ain't no rivalry there. I'm just saying, that's my family, so don't mess with my family, because I ain't always wore skinny jeans. You know what I'm saying? But I just want to say that it's an honor and a privilege to be here. And, man, there's so many faces in the room. I just feel so at home. And they told me to make myself at home. So if I get a little crazy, is that okay if I just act like I'm at home? Now, I do have to warn you that it is going to get loud and it is going to get crazy. And I'm just going to start off this thing. I want me to talk about worship tonight. And so we're going to dive into that, but I just want you to make a decision tonight. You know, Pastor Josh Carter, who's going to be here the next two nights, I'm glad I'm going first. I'm just going to say that, because this man is the preacher's preacher, and I'm excited. You guys are going to be so blessed by him the next 2 days. But I just want you to open up your heart for the next couple of days for God to do something fresh and new in you, in your family. Come on, in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. I don't know what you came in here with, but you ought not leave the same way that you came. And I grew up in an old school Baptist church, you know, so I'm just a little Baptist boy from Indiana. That's all I am. But I just remember them saying, you will never be the same in Jesus' name. And you know, that kind of rhymes and it kind of feels good, but I believe there's something powerful to that, that if you don't want to stay the same, I'm already preaching, let me come. If you don't want to stay the same, you don't have to stay the same. You can walk out of here with the same baggage you came in with if you want to, but you don't have to. So nudge your neighbor, say, hey, wake up. I know you had some food truck food, and we're going to have a good time. And anybody that's here for maybe you're coming tonight, is your first time ever having this kind of experience, church experience, I just challenge you to come back on Sunday. You can hear the man of God and just enjoy. Get plugged in. Amen. Get around a community of people who love God and love each other. You know, there's no such thing as a perfect church. I ain't get no amen. Come on, there's no such thing as a perfect church. And it might have been perfect until you showed up. So I'm just saying. I'm joking. But I believe there's power in community, and I just want to challenge you to get plugged in the house. Get plugged in the house. Get your family plugged in the house. Amen. I just grew up in church, and I just believe my life, the trajectory of my life has been predetermined by God, but there were people who have been in my life that I would have only ran into in the church. They helped me stay the course, helped me stay the path. Amen, young people. I used to be a youth pastor. You know, you got to kick them a couple times. If you got to just bring them to church kicking and screaming, just bring them in here. I believe God will do something tremendous in their life. If you have your Bible, we're going to look at Acts chapter 16, and we're going to start in verse 20. Now, tonight, the title of my message is We got slides and stuff. I think we got some. So the title of my message tonight is I Will Worship. I Will Worship. And I say I will because it is an act of your will. It is a choice for you. You have to decide every day. Now, classically, when we've talked about worship, it's usually been amongst songs and instrumentation, and that's one side of worship. But tonight, I just want to talk to you about worship as a lifestyle. So while you're turning to Acts chapter 16, let me just give you a couple of quotes about worship. A.W. Tozer said, "I can safely say on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God that any man or woman on this earth who is bored or turned off by worship is not ready for heaven." Yeah, it's good. It's good. An author named Paul David Tripp, he said, "You cannot divide human beings into those who worship and those who don't. Everybody worships. It's just a matter of what or whom we serve." Yeah, so everybody worships. Everybody worships. Everybody worships. I want to read this to you. Now, if you're not familiar with this narrative in Scripture, this narrative in Scripture happens where Paul and Silas were preaching in the name of Jesus. Okay, so let me just kind of set the foundation before we jump in here. So Paul and Silas were preaching the gospel. They were preaching under the name and authority of Jesus, and they were causing a ruckus. They were messing some religiosity up, and they were, you know, getting under the skin of some Pharisees and Sadducees. And so what happened here is they were challenging the culture. They were challenging the status quo by preaching that Jesus is the only way. And so they ran into some trouble and ran into some persecution. And that's what we're going to pick up in verse 20. Acts chapter 16, verse 20 says, "And they brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews,'" watch this, "'exceedingly trouble our city.'" How many people know, man, the message of the gospel is going, it's going to mess some stuff up for some people, because the gospel is about surrender. It's about saying Jesus is Lord, not me. It's about saying Jesus is the Lord, the head over my life. I don't control my life, my destiny. And so when we have such a humanistic and self-sufficient society, when you start preaching about Jesus, come on, even today there's some friction. Because people want to do, "I can do bad all by myself." But I'm telling you, you're right. All you're going to do is do bad. I mean, if you're going to try to do this by yourself, all you're going to do is mess stuff up. But how many know you need Jesus on your side? Come on, you need him just as Lord. So they were troubling the city. It says they exceedingly trouble our city. "And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Verse 22, "Then the multitude rose up together." So now, not only the political side of this, the magistrates, are not only them, but now the multitude are rising up against them. It says, "The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." Verse 25, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately," look at somebody, say immediately. I mean, it was right away. The moment that they began to worship, "There was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors," not just a few, not just the ones that people liked, "all the doors were open, and everyone," I gotta pace myself here, man, "everyone's chains were loosed." Would you pray with me for just one moment? Lord Jesus, we ask that you would just continue to saturate the hearts of your sons and your daughters. We have worshiped and we've praised and we've greeted each other, and we're all here on one accord for Revival 2019. And we just ask tonight that you would just move me out of the way, move us out of the way. And God, as the word begins to go forth, that it would just pierce the heart of every listener, that it would change perspectives and shift paradigms into a place of knowing you more and loving you in a greater way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I said this before, but it's been said, you know, quite a bit of worship. Like when it comes to worship, a lot of times we think has to do with songs and lyrics and, you know, lights and all of that. But I believe that worship is a lifestyle. And the posture of your heart should always be toward the Father. That's what worship is the posture of my heart is always toward the Father. So worship is not just something we do on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. or 9 a.m. or whatever time you choose to go to your church, but it's an everyday thing. You got to wake up again in the morning and say, I choose. The posture of my heart is going to be toward my Heavenly Father. And most people can worship when things are going great in their life and the bank account looks pretty good and the kids are behaving like they should. But I just wonder tonight if you can worship when your marriage is on the rocks, and can you worship when that wayward child hasn't been home in a couple of days? I wonder, can you worship when there's not as much money in your bank account as you would like there to be? I just wonder tonight if you are able to set your posture, the posture of your heart, towards the Father when all hell is breaking loose. I wonder tonight if you can still worship in the valley like you worship on the mountaintop. What I've come to find out is that you will need to worship in every season of your life. On the mountaintop and in the valleys, you will always need to set the posture of your heart toward the Father. Now, I just want to give you a couple points tonight, and we're going to end this thing worshiping. All right, so I want to tell you just a few things about worship tonight. One, worship should always be our first response. All right? So I don't want to talk about the mountaintop worship where everything's good. I want to talk about when the devil is breathing down your neck. You know what I'm saying? You can smell his breath. Worship, again, setting the posture of our heart toward the Father, not our circumstances. Worship should be our first response. Look at the scripture in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Most of you may know this scripture by heart. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, how many ways? All your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Now, in the Passion Translation, which is a great current translation, it says, trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions, right? So I know everybody has an opinion, but you can't rely on that. I ain't getting no amens on that one. But you can't trust in or rely on your own opinions. Watch this. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Watch this, verse 6, it says, become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Your response to the storm, your response to the fire, your response to the valley, your response will dictate the outcome every time. How you respond will determine how this thing ends. Let me help you a little bit. When you respond to any trial with worship, you are responding in faith. Have you ever just had to make a choice to respond in faith? So faith is not a feeling, you understand? Like, I love Smith Wigglesworth. He was a great revivalist, but he said, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel, but I'm only moved by what I believe, and I believe the word of God. Come on, that's faith tonight, that I'm not moved by my emotions. I'm not moved by my feelings. I'm not moved by my circumstances. I'm not moved by my neighbor's opinions about me. The only thing that moves me is the word of the living God. And worship is responding in faith. Here it is again, setting What is the posture of your heart? I'm going to say it 1,000 times. You're going to get tired of me saying it, but you're going to leave here knowing what I'm talking about. Right. Setting the posture of your heart toward the Father. And what's cool is when it says acknowledge God in all your ways, you know, you're looking to the one who has the answers. So that Hebrew word for acknowledge is actually the word yada, which means to be acquainted with and aware of. Here's what I know. I am very acquainted with my wife. So I put a lot of, I trust my wife with my life because I know her. I've spent time with her, Pastor. I know what she likes, what she doesn't like. I know what buttons to push and what not to push. You know what I'm saying? I've just been very acquainted, First Lady, with my wife, and I know her, and I'm aware of her. I know when she's in the room, when she calls me, like when I get back to the hotel room and I call her, I'm going to know her voice. And if someone were to call me and say, hey, this is Sister Harold, I'm going to say, you a lie. This ain't her. Because I'm acquainted. Yada, I'm acquainted. I'm aware. And here's the thing I know. You will only respond in faith to the degree of your acquaintance with the Father. You can only respond in faith to the level of intimacy you've had with the Father. And that's why a lot of times our response is to cuss first and not. Come on. Our response a lot of times, Corey, is to gossip first. Let me just move on. I'm just saying when you're acquainted with the Father, that should be your first response. Worship should always be your first response. Y'all tracking with me? Y'all good? Is this okay? The next thing I know about worship, right? So number one, worship should be our first response. That was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The next thing I realized about worship is worship actually puts things in the right perspective, right? You got to have a good perspective on what's happening in your life because you can be in the middle of the storm. See, the disciples, there's a narrative in the scripture where they went out into to the storm, and Jesus was on the boat with them, and the storm was raging, and Jesus was knocked out down at the bottom of the boat. The storm is raging, and the disciples are, Jesus, don't you care that we perish? See, they had the wrong perspective. They forgot who was in the boat with them. And Jesus came up out of there, you know, and I had this interesting thought. My buddy and I were talking about this, and he said, you know, as much as the scripture tells us that Jesus spoke to the storm and said, peace be still, could he have also been talking to his disciples? Because as much we know that God is able to control and tame and calm the storm, but are you acquainted enough with the Father that he can calm the inward storm that's on the inside? Can he look at you and say, peace be still? He said, peace I'm leaving with you. Come on, man. Not peace or that the world. I'm giving you my peace. I'm giving you my joy. What kind of peace do you think Jesus has? So much peace that he could walk through a crowd that were trying to murder him and push him off a cliff. And the Bible says he just walked right through them. Excuse me, sir. Watch out. Thank you. I'm going back. All right. Worship puts things in the right perspective. Let's look at this. Psalm 119. You can write this down next to this one. Worship puts things in the right perspective. Psalm 119, starting in verse 89. It says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness. Man, I love this. Endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides, and they continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. He's saying, man, if I would not have valued your word, if I would have not valued your statutes, and if I would have not put things in the right perspective, he says, I would have then perished in my affliction. Watch this. He says, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. See, worship is not just about a song on a screen. You can worship while you're reading the word. Are you hearing me? We know all the lyrics to the songs, but we can't quote scripture to save our life. Which brings me to another point about songs. There's a lot of crazy worship songs out here right now that are so fleshy and solical and me, me, and oh, weary me, me, me. And I'm just believing that there's going to be a remnant of songwriters, Corey Norris, that's going to rise up and write some powerful, strong, theological songs that will point people to Jesus and not themselves. I told you that before already, and the Lord's reminding you tonight. That's just me. No, just don't worry. We're okay. We good. But you got to read your word. I love this. And again, the Passion Translation, this verse 93, watch this. It says, I can never forget your profound revelations you've taught me, for they have kept me alive more than once. Anybody just ever just been hanging on what we say in Indiana by the skin of your teeth? Come on, you just been hanging on to that. All you got is the word. You ain't got nothing else to hang on to but the word. And the word of God has kept you alive more than one. Anybody, do I have anybody in the house? Come on. It's the one, that one word that's just kept you alive, kept you going, kept you moving, kept your perspective in the right place. The word of God. Whew. It'll keep you moving. It'll keep you alive. Worship. Puts things in the right perspective. It's good to have the right perspective when it comes to what's going on around you. You can either look at the storm and say, man, that's a lot of rain. Or you can say, man, this storm is just watering the seed that's been placed in my life. The destiny that is on my life. The seed of the word of God. It's just this, I'm dancing in the rain. It's about perspective. Come on, you can look at it and say, oh, woe is me. Or you can say, no, God, in the middle of this storm, work in me, move in me, mold me, shape me. Come on, just elevate me. Come on, this storm is not going to take me out. But while I'm in the middle, I ain't asking you to take me out of the storm, God. In the middle of the storm, move in me, show me, teach me. I'm telling you. So many times, Pastor, we want to run away from the storm. You ever notice, man, like God just didn't say, I mean, when Jesus is on the boat with his disciples, he didn't say, well, let's just go back to shore. I love the fact, I don't know, Jesus probably was down there awake for a little while. Like, I wonder how long they're going to be up there crying and whining. Worship puts you in a place of surrender. There is a God and you're not him. There is a Jehovah God and you ain't him. So stop trying to control everything. It's a word for somebody tonight. You got to just open-handedly say, God, here's my life. I'm worshiping you. I'm surrendering everything to you. And if God has never failed for thousands of years, he will not start now and he won't start with you. When we worship, we're reminded of the faithfulness of God. And scripture just told us that his faithfulness endures for all generations. So if he's been faithful to your grandparents, to their parents, and now it's coming up to you, what makes you think it's going to stop with you? No, he's going to be faithful to you and your kids and your grandkids and your great. Come on, he's going to be faithful. Come on, this is the word. Let's land on that, saying, God, you've been faithful from generation to generation. You're never going to stop being faithful. And as long as I can keep the posture of my heart toward you, I'm going to always see your faithfulness in front of me. God's faithfulness never skips a generation. The next thing I notice about worship, if you'll look at Acts 16, we're going back, go back to Acts 16 and verse 25. It said, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So the other thing I know about worship, worship should be your first response. Worship puts things in the right perspective, but also worship should be vocal. Expressing your heart to someone cannot be displayed solely through actions or good deeds. You've got to speak up. How crazy would it be, Pastor, if... You know, First Lady cleans up the house just real nice. I mean, just spick and span. You know what I'm talking about? take the military glove, you know, take it across the table. And then you get home and, whoa, there's a hot meal ready for you. Come on, your favorite, collard greens, candied yams, mac and cheese. Come on, this ain't racist. We just like this kind of food. You know what I'm saying? Hey, y'all better chill out. Some of y'all like chicken, too. Don't be messing with me. Some of y'all like macaroni and cheese, too. I ain't talking about the box mess, either. I'm talking about from scratch, brother. I'm talking about boil the noodles and melt the cheese and put evaporated milk in there. Put the cheese on top. Let it just bubble up. Come. Come on, First Lady. I know you know what you're talking about now. You make any food? Okay, no. I'm a little hungry. But she cleans up the house real nice. Man, just cooks you a nice home-cooked meal, and you come home just tired from a day's work. And you come home and do this. She's going to look at you like you done lost your mind. Would you say something? And here we go. Every Sunday morning in church, there's a worship leader or somebody up here saying, lift up a shout of praise to God. And what do? Come on, if God has ever done something for you, if God has ever moved a mountain for you, if God has ever healed you, you better lift up your voice and give God a praise. He's worth. Come on, he's worthy when you feel like praising. He's worthy when you don't feel like praising. Come on, he's worthy in the valley. He's worthy on the mountaintop. And I just believe God is looking for some folks that will open up their mouth and give him praise and say, thank you, God. I love you, Jesus. You're worthy. We lift your name. There's nobody like you. There's nobody that comes before you. You are my number one. Come on, I'm telling you, God is looking for somebody to be vocal. Sit down. Sit back down. I'm not done yet. No, y'all ain't gonna push me to the end. I'm not done. I was looking through scripture, and I want to bring your attention to something that really blew my mind. See, sometimes it's just easier to lift your hands, but that's not where the power really is. When God created the heavens and the earth, he didn't just think about it. He didn't just clap over it. He actually said something. Watch this. Watch this. So Genesis 1:1, God got perspective. He said, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and darkness over the face of the deep, right? He's getting perspective. And then in verse 3, he said. In verse 5, he called. In verse 6, he said. In verse 8, he called. In verse 9, he said. In verse 10, he called. In verse 11, he said. In verse 14, he said. Verse 20, he said. Verse 22, God blessed them saying. Verse 24, he said. Watch this. Verse 26, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, meaning they can do exactly what we're doing. Verse 28, God blessed them and said to them. And then it wasn't until chapter 2 that the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground. That's as a potter would like mold clay using his hands. Now watch this. God spoke 13 times before he ever lifted a finger. And when you worship God, there has to be more things making noise than just your hands. There has to be the sound of your voice because the power is in your voice. Is it okay if I just get a little Pentecostal on you? I grew up in church where it was awesome to clap your hands. And the Bible actually says, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. But it doesn't stop there. Shout unto God. So I just believe that a quiet church is a dead church. You can't think your praise. You can't meditate your praise. At some point, that thing's going to move you to say, glory to God. Okay. I feel the anointing. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas could not use their hands. So there, I don't know if it's going to mess the camera people up, but I'm going to do this anyway. So, okay, I need a Silas. Come here. You my Silas. Come here. Y'all didn't know Paul and Silas were brothers, did y'all? All right, anyway. Paul. Woo. Cut that from the recording. No, I'm joking. All right. Paul and Silas are chained up. All right, so we're chained up. We ain't, man, our backs are bloody, bruised up, beat up, broke, busted, and disgusted, as my dad used to say. We messed up over here. And you know, they could have just said, man, they got us. We're preaching the gospel. This ain't a laughing matter, man. We might not get out of here. But I just have to think that they remembered back in Acts chapter 4 and 5 where Peter and John came back from healing the man who was lame at the gate. They had just been in prison too. And they remembered that when the Bible says they went unto their own company, here's the community thing. When you go through a struggle and a trial, that is not a time to leave the church. That's a time to get in community and say, I need some help. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 3 and 4, so they went into their own company, and the Bible says they prayed, and when they prayed, man, the whole house shook. So I just have to think that they remember that. Like, I remember something about that. And, man, it really looks like the devil got us, man. Our chains are real heavy. They got our feet bound, our hands bound. But if they really wanted us to not get heaven's intervention, they should have closed our mouth. And the Bible says that they began to sing and pray. Not when their chains got taken off of them. Not when their backs healed up. Thank you, Saul. Paul and Silas. You, Silas. But the Bible says that they began to sing praises and hymns and pray. The devil is okay with you clapping. He's okay with you jumping up and down. He's okay with you getting a little shouty, you know. He's okay with that. But in Proverbs, it says this: life and death are in the power of your own tongue. So here it is. So Paul and Silas are saying, How did things happen in the beginning? If I read in the Torah, okay, God was saying stuff, and stuff was happening. Man, the believers gathered together in Acts chapter 3 and 4, and they were saying stuff, and the whole foundation shook. They probably remembered even in Acts chapter 2, it's like, whoa, man, they were in there, and when the Holy Ghost came in and filled the room, and man, I'm telling you, there was a shaking on that day too. But something happens when you open up your mouth. Here's what I know about worship. Worship is directly connected to heaven. And if you want to get God on the scene, you can't just clap him onto the scene. You got to praise him. Because he inhabits the praises. Is this okay? I'm just trying to make it plain, like they used to say. Just make it plain, make it plain. He doesn't inhabit the clapping of his people. Come on, he doesn't inhabit the dances of his people. I can dance. Come on, I didn't. B3 organ, turn it all the way up, brother. But he inhabits the praises of his people. What does inhabit means? He shows up. So if you want God to intervene in your situation, you got to open up your mouth and he's right there. He shows up. So, the band, y'all can come back up. We're about to land this plane right here. The last thing I realize about worship, so yes, worship should be our first response. I'm going to give you a little review. Should be our first response. Worship puts things in the right perspective, and worship should be vocal. And when you put all three of those together, you create this formula. And here's what I know about sound. The sound of worship, the sound of worship activates freedom. The sound of worship activates freedom. Look at Acts 16, verse 26. It said, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Along about midnight, like Paul and Silas, they were praying and singing just a robust hymn to God. And the other prisoners couldn't believe their ears. They're saying, why are you worshiping in your chains? Some of your family members may look at you that way and say, why do you go over to that church? You know you're going through this and that and the other. Why do you still have a smile on your face? You know you just lost your job. Why do you still have a smile? Come on, why are you? You know your marriage is in shambles. Why are you coming up in here acting like ain't nothing wrong? It's because they understand the power of worship. Now, sound activates, this sound of worship activates freedom. So I just want you to look at your neighbor and say, just excuse me for a moment. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, excuse me for a moment, but I'm about to celebrate my freedom. Come on, look at him and say, don't get nervous. I know you ain't never heard me shout before, but I'm about to celebrate my freedom. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I'm telling you, you can't wait until the chains are gone. You can't wait until the storm is over. You can't wait until the battle has ended before you worship. And here's why. Because you're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. I'm going to say it one more time for the folks in the back. You're not fighting for victory. Jesus already got the victory for you over 2,000 years ago. And now we worship and praise from a place of victory. I dare you to stand up on your feet tonight and honor God and worship Him. Lift up your voice in the name of Jesus. Yes, hallelujah. Your freedom becomes a reality when you worship with all of your heart. You can't give Him a halfway praise. Can't give Him a halfway worship because He didn't give you a halfway sacrifice on the cross. And He didn't rise from the grave halfway. And I'm just here tonight to shake up the church and say, if you really want to see revival, you're going to have to get undignified before the Lord. I heard a preacher say it like this. He said, if you always do what you've always done, you're going to always get what you always got. So you're wondering why freedom is not happening in your life. You're wondering why the mountains aren't moving. It's because every time something like that happens, you choose to complain. And I'm challenging you tonight to set your heart's posture toward the Father and worship. The sound always changes things. And when you release the sound of worship, hear me, heaven rides in on every word that is spoken. The sound of worship has the potential to break open an atmosphere where, I'm telling you, healings and miracles and signs and wonders can happen in an atmosphere that has been broken open by worship. And while you're worshiping here, see, I know you got stuff going on back at home. I know you got stuff happening back at your job. I know you got stuff happening in your family. But I just believe that while you're worshiping here, that God is working behind the scenes out there. I'm telling you, while you're worshiping in this place, God is working it out for you back there. Come on, while you're praising here, God's turning things around for you. And when you leave this place, you're going to say, whoa, God did it again. Oh, God did it again.
Hey, we hope you enjoyed the podcast this week. And if you did, we invite you to take a moment to subscribe and follow our page. That way the word can be ready and waiting for you each and every week. Thanks again for joining us online, and we'll see you next time.